the first two verses. There's a message here for you and for me, and it's my prayer that we will hear. I read verses 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The race that is set before us. May the Lord bless the reading of this portion of his word. One of the more impressive things about the work of the Gideons is that brethren like Brother Schurter serve without any remuneration at all, and every penny of the offering goes to the purchase of the Bibles and Testaments for distribution. Many Christian activities involve a great deal of expenditure, overhead expenses, and so forth, but not with this work. And this is one place you can give your money. Rest assured that every cent of it goes to the work of the Lord. May we have just a word of prayer, please. Father, again we ask for a special blessing upon the work of the Gideons, upon the various members around the city and neighboring towns as they present the work. Grant that it'll be fruitful and honoring to thee, working under the salvation of innumerable individuals. And now, Lord, return to thy word again. Bless, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience a race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. First of all, I call your attention to the fact that there is a race set before us. It isn't optional whether we enter the contest or not. We're entered automatically the minute we accept Christ as our Savior. We read in the second chapter of Ephesians, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I'm not much on slogans, but every once in a while one rings true. Saved to serve. Eternal life, escape from hell, many other blessings are what I call fringe benefits of salvation. We have been saved to glorify the Lord. We've been saved to serve and honor Him. And the race is set before us. Now, as in all athletic contests, there are various lengths of races. The length of our race is set by God. I have heard, and I'm sure you have, at various and sundry services, someone being spoken of as cut off before his time. Many other comparable words. But I'm inclined to agree with Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who, when asked who was going to take up his work when the Lord was through with him, or when he died, so to speak, he said, "No one. I'll live until my work is completed. When it's completed, I'll go home to be with the Lord. And nobody's going to take up my work. I will have finished my work. Whoever comes along after me will have to have his own work." So far as I've been able to read in the Bible, Elijah is the only one of whom I've read who didn't finish his work. The time came for his exodus, tended by the horsemen and chariots of God, caught up in a whirlwind. He was told to do three things before that moment. The Lord had told him that he would accept his resignation. He'd get somebody else to finish his work, so to speak. He said, "I want you to anoint Hazael, king of Syria, Jehu, king of Israel, and Elisha, prophet, in your place. You'll anoint Elisha, prophet, to finish the work which I've started in you." Our race is set. We've been saved for a purpose. God has blueprinted your life and my life. Run with patience the race that is set before you. We have marathon races. We have the 10,000 meter, the 1,000, the 500, the 100 yards, all different kinds pertaining to length. And so are we in this race that God has set before us. I'm asked oft times why I don't retire. Well, I haven't finished the course. I don't know when I'll finish it. I may have run it before the service is concluded. Only God knows, but to pray that I'll keep running till the race is over. Run with patience the race that is set before us. One day we're going to answer to the Lord. what we've done. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That everyone, no exception, may receive the things done in the body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or bad or evil. Everyone. Men escape judgments here oft times, various and sundry reasons and means and methods, but there'll be no escaping this one. Everyone may receive just desert, rewards for that which he's done since he's saved until the time he goes into the presence of the Lord, either by death or by the rapture. Now, to encourage us, he calls our attention to the fact that there are many, many witnesses that have gone on. No unanimity of interpretation about the witnesses. Personally, my conviction is that these witnesses see us. I've never been able to see anything wrong with the people in heaven observing us. Our eyes are beholden now that we cannot see into the spiritual realm. But God could open the eyes of those beholden that they could see. I'm sure you recall the instance of Gehazi, servant of Elisha, who awakening one morning saw the armies of Syria completely surrounding the city, rushing to Elisha in fear and trembling. He called attention to Elisha of what had taken place. And Elisha simply said, "Lord, open the young man's eyes that he may see." And God opened his eyes so that he could see into the spiritual realm. And he saw the armies of heaven completely surrounding the Syrian army. He could tell that all was well. Lazarus and the rich man, separate compartments of Sheol or Hades, could see across. One individual said to me after a similar message, "You've ruined heaven for me." I said, "How's that?" He said, You mean my mother can see what I do?" I said, "I think so." "Oh," he said, "that ruins." I said, "Well, don't worry about your mother and what she can see you do. You know the Lord sees you, and he can do something about it. Your mother can't." You know, seeing today is that which people see when they find us out. If we can keep it secret, it is no sin. But I never have been able to understand this 11th chapter of Hebrews, where it talks about all of these great men of faith. There we have Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Sarah, innumerable mention. And when it finishes naming them, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses." I don't know whether Paul ever entered any of the Olympic Games or athletic contest, but he was familiar with them. And under the leadership of the Spirit of God, he drew many illustrations from the athletic games for his messages. And here he pictures us in the amphitheater. This amphitheater filled with witnesses who've come to witness the contest. Why have the stands filled with witnesses if they can't see what's going on? They're there. And I know, as you know, that oftentimes a contestant in any athletic contest is encouraged and driven to greater heights of success by the knowledge that someone whom he loves or in whom he's interested is in the stands watching. Sometimes I've had them tell me they could hear their shouts above that of the tens of thousands of others. There's Abel watching you and me. Abel died because of his faithfulness to God Almighty. By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. God told Cain and Abel what to do. Abel did what God said. Cain did what he thought best. God accepted Abel's, but refused Cain's sacrifice. And because of a certain amount of jealousy, possibly ridicule, I know not what the cause, maybe just conviction of a guilty conscience, drove Cain to slay Abel. There's a man watching us who paid with his life because of his faithfulness to God. Enoch is watching. Enoch walked with God one day, and they just kept on walking and walked on into heaven. And Enoch never returned. He's watching. Noah, who was told by God to preach of a coming rain that would flood the earth and destroy all flesh from off the face of the earth, except that which would be preserved in the ark that he was to build. Preaching about a rain when as yet not one drop of rain had fallen. For 120 years Noah preached. For 120 years he told of the coming rain. For 120 years he told of the coming judgment of God. Nobody listened, nobody paid any attention. Just his immediate family. His wife, his three sons, and their wives. He went ahead and he builded the ark. And the rains came. Noah is watching you and me. Abraham, chosen by God to be the progenitor of a new people, a people whom he would adopt as his firstborn son, the people of Israel, a man who suffered as few have suffered, a man blessed as few have been blessed. Abraham, called the friend of God. He's in the stands watching. I think these whom I'm mentioning are in box seats. They're watching. There's Abraham's wife, Sarah, with him. Abraham, a type of the nation of Israel. There's Isaac, the son of promise. Jacob, whom Isaiah calls the special creation. They're watching. Joseph, tried as few men have ever been tried. He's watching. You can call the roll of the Old Testament saints. They're watching. It doesn't disturb me, in one sense of the word, to think that my father is watching and my mother is watching. Brothers and sisters, friends and loved ones. My thought along that line is that we're not going to waste much time watching what's going on down here because we're going to be so interested in the Lord and the things of heaven. This thing won't mean much to us. But we're there, the starting block, ready to start the race. Now, he gives these words of warning, or admonition, or counsel. Since we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight that doth hinder. Now the weight that hinders is not necessarily a sin until it hinders our service unto the Lord. You understand what the weights are to the athlete. They used to train with leaded sole shoes. They used to attach weights to their body as they'd exercise, oftentimes as they ran, so that when those weights were removed, they could run the faster. There wasn't any rule saying they couldn't run with those lead sole shoes. They could do it if they wanted to. We today think of what the athletes call, or what they did when I was back in school, they call them sweat clothes or warming up clothes. They wear those as they warm up for the race. Get the muscles pliable, supple. Now, take off all extraneous clothing. Take off all these weights. Let's run now the race. What are some weights? The Bible mentions three in particular, which I'm going to mention this morning. In the parable of the sower, we read that the third clash of the one sowed, the seed is in good soil, and it germinates and sprouts and it grows. But the briar, the bramble, the Johnson grass, all of that stuff grows also and hinders the harvest. Now, those briars and brambles, the Johnson grass and other weeds and grass that choke the life out, are called in Matthew the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. Luke mentions the pleasures of this world. So this morning I'm just going to mention the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the pleasures of this life. Now the cares of this world have to do with those who have nothing or very, very little of this world's goods. And they are so concerned about something to eat, a place to sleep, something to wear, that they don't have time for the things of the Lord, they think. So concerned about food, clothing, and shelter. That's the cares of this life. There are people. There are plenty of people who know not from whence their next meal cometh. There are people right now who are worried about how they're going to face winter with the prospect of little or no heat. There are those who wonder about the clothing that's worn threadbare on their bodies. And it is a worry and it's a concern. But don't let that hinder your running the race. Lay aside that burden. Our Lord made a promise in the 6th chapter of Matthew. And He says to Christians, to His followers, to those believing on Him, He says to them, seek not and think not and worry not about where you're going to sleep, what you're going to wear, and what you're going to eat. After these things, the heathen seek. I refer oft times to our beloved Greek professor at the seminary because he was such a blessing to all who had the privilege and opportunity of studying under him. He said you can tell the difference between a heathen and a Christian this way. The heathen is out hunting something to eat, to wear, and a place to sleep. The Christian's out hunting heathens. The deceitfulness of riches. Oh, if I had $1 million, I'd give half of it to the Lord. And they get the million. And they keep it. Promising the Lord if they get two, then they'll split with Him. And they get two and keep it. And promise if they get three, they'll split. There are some glorious exceptions. There have been many, many people blessed financially that have honored the Lord with their substance. I knew one personally that when he started out in his life, gave 10% of everything he made to the Lord. The last time I was spoke to him, talked to him. He was giving 90% of what he made to the Lord and keeping 10. That was the day before the government said, I want the 90. Deceitfulness of riches. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money. Not money. I've known some people who didn't have a cent that loved it more than some I knew that had millions. You don't have to have money to love it. The love of money, the love of money, the love of money, the love of money. That's a weight. And the third weight he mentions, which I'm calling your attention, is pleasures. Our society is built upon the cliche, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. I don't know what all play and no work does. I think I've seen a few examples. But pleasure. The Apostle Paul in his epistle to Timothy sets forth the fact that in the days just before the coming of the Son of Man, that man and men are going to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And right today, the big word in Christianity is recreation. And the millions upon millions of dollars being built or spent to build recreational buildings is a shame unto the Lord. The only institution established by God to minister to the spiritual nature and life of man has prostituted itself into ministering to the pleasure life of man and the physical life of man and let the spiritual go. Lay aside every weight, the cares and worries of life, the deceitfulness of riches, pleasure. Lay those aside. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. That's not a sin. That's the sin. There's a definite article. The sin. That's called the besetting sin. I'm sure you've heard, as I've heard many, many times, individuals say, well, now this is my besetting sin. And another says, well, that's my besetting sin. And another, this is my besetting sin. The besetting sin is the same for you and you and you and you and for me. The besetting sin is one sin, and it besets all of us. The besetting sin. One sin besetting every Christian. Now, not only lay aside every weight that doth hinder, but lay aside the sin which doth so easily beset us. And what is that sin? It's not murder. It's not lying. It's not stealing. It's not adultery. It's not covetousness. What is the sin which doth so easily beset us? Oh, ye of little faith, said our Lord. The besetting sin is lack of faith. Lack of faith. Lack of confidence in God. We draw our self-righteous robes about us because we haven't murdered somebody. Because we haven't done this or haven't done that. And we're guilty of the besetting sin, lack of faith. Lack of faith. People used to ask me, pray that I will have more faith. Pray for me that I'll have more faith. Faith cometh not by prayer. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The more you know this, the more you live in this, the more you meditate upon this, the more you're permeated, saturated with this, the greater your confidence and faith in God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when you acknowledge that you don't have much faith, you're acknowledging that you don't know much about the Lord and His Word. Oh, ye of little faith! Now lay aside every weight. Lay aside these things for which you tell your soul, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Get your eye on Jesus. How difficult it is to keep our eye on Jesus when brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so are right here by us. We do this in the service of the Lord to please this man or that group or this church or that denomination, so forth and so on. Get your eye upon Jesus. Get your eye upon Jesus. I saw a race one day over at Baylor, over here. That's when my girls were at home, and I took them where those things were taking place. And it didn't interfere with our worship of the Lord or attendance of services. And there was a young man that slated to win the 100-yard dash. And he was. He was running fast, and he was about a foot to 2 feet ahead of the nearest run. And up there, instead of keeping his eye on the goal, he got to wondering how close the other contestants were, and he turned around to look and broke his stride, and one passed him and won the race. I saw that with my own eyes. And we in this race, we can stop and look at somebody in the stands. We can stop and look at somebody next to us. Wonder about this one. But it says here, looking unto Jesus. Get your eye upon Jesus. One day He's coming. One day He's going to appear. He's going to call us to meet Him in the air. Then we'll see Him face to face. We'll see Him face to face. Oh, I want to see Him. Look upon His face. There to dwell forever in His saving grace. We see Him. You're in the race. You may think you dropped out. You haven't. The fact that you're alive is evidence that you're still enlisted in the race. Now lay aside those weights and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and run with patience this race that's set before us. Father, bless this message. To Thine honor and glory, to our fruitfulness, to our good. And Lord, should there be one here who knows not the Lord as their Savior, may they enlist in the race today through faith in Jesus Christ.